KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Now, here's Brady Hall.
And Kevin Lytle.
What do you think?
That was amazing.
We got the old intro from like 3 years ago in there, but... Or you just edited that a little bit, I think, Micah. But we'll get the new one in next. This is our preseason show of Rams Weekly.
Yeah, you have to, you know, it's training camp. You can't just be fully ready and you know, go all in. You have to build up to the season.
It's just like what we're seeing with CSU over there. We don't expect, you know, Clay Millen day one to go out and throw three touchdowns against Washington State. You can, exact same situation for us.
Yeah, I can't think of any differences.
There's zero differences. We got to get hit a few times. We got to get a feel for the game and the show and before we put together an undefeated season.
Yeah, exactly. I think we are going to do that, though.
Are you and I?
Undefeated, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because we'll just be here.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess that really is all we have to do.
It's just on.
We literally just have to show up.
That's all we have to do is show up.
Make sure the mics are on.
Yeah. We're going to get Jack Howell to join. That's a guy who does more than show up, huh?
Yeah, that's a player right there.
Oh, he's going to join us. Micah, just so you know, they'll be calling in like 15 after, so we might break before that. But we're looking forward to having him on the show, man. He's always fun to talk to. Was great yesterday at Media Days, too.
Yeah, Jack is one of those kind of a dream for a CSU football program. He, you know, first and probably most importantly, is a very good player. Legacy Ram, obviously, his dad did great things. And then great spokesperson, you know, face of a friend. Obviously, he's not the only face, but one of the faces
of the
program. And just does it so well. I mean, he's a guy that I think everyone at CSU feels very good about him representing the school, and he does it very well. And yeah, he's a player. He is a heck of a player.
Do you think he's an NFL player?
You know, it's interesting. He's a guy that already has kind of, you know, if you look at his recruiting profile, it's nothing, it's not bad, but it doesn't jump off the page as like, oh my gosh, this incredible recruit. He's already, I think, probably outperformed that. You know, I think size, kind of the size-speed combo is one of the big questions. He's outperformed that. I'm not going to start banging against him. And again, I think there's something to be said for just the family knowledge and talent. You know, his dad obviously won a Super Bowl. His sister is one of the best soccer players in the country. Those are, it's hard to place a value on, you know, how that can help a player, but I think there's no doubt that does. Of, you know, he's going to eke out every inch of his talent because he's learned how to do that from his dad, his sister. You know, they all work together. Obviously, he has a younger sibling too that's really good athlete. Again, there, you can't really value how much that is, but I don't think that kid is going to leave any stone unturned in chasing that.
Yeah, he is. He's a heck of a player, heck of a guy, too. Of course, he and Torrey Horton were kind of the chosen players to speak to us. I know there's some individual things as well, but it was just, you hear those guys talk, and you're like, these are the guys, man. These are, and Torrey Horton, that's a next level player right there.
Yeah, I mean, that one's a no doubter. Torrey is more the conversation of, A, when is he going to go, which I think we can talk about that probably more in the show and certainly through the season. And then where, you know, it's Torrey Horton's a draft pick. Whenever he does decide to go, it's more, you know, what round are we talking? That's how good Torrey Horton is.
Well, I think it's funny, the beginning of the scrimmage yesterday, Kevin, we're all kind of walking around the field. They hadn't really started the scrimmage yet. Then we get to a point where, right, bam, they start the scrimmage, and Millen airs it out to Torrey Horton, makes what you called was a catch. The ref looked at you, and he's like, was that a catch, Lytle?
Yeah. And then CSU Marcus Patton, the secondary coach, turned to me and said, was he in bounds? I said, this is above my pay grade.
It looked in bounds.
The ref called it in bounds. So, I mean, if the ref calls it, I don't think there's a replay system for Wednesday morning scrimmage. So if he called it in, it's in. It was certainly close. But
if it's wrong,
throwing it up to Torrey, not a bad plan.
You're going to be on the film, and they're going to be like, Kevin, I know, said it was in.
The coach is going to be sitting there. He's going to, you know, it's going to be like the Zapruder film. He's going to be zooming in, and next time I'm at practice, I'm going to get a tap on shoulder, but we looked at the film.
They can see you actually going, it was a catch. You're making the signal that it was a catch.
I'll be on poster, like poster board material, bulletin board.
He
wronged us.
Torrey is he's one of those players, man. There's a few of those guys on this list that we're very excited to see all of them, But there's just like five or six, maybe seven names that you just kind of get pumped about. But just talking about the upcoming season, Kevin, I mean, it's a different world every year when we talk college football, this year more so than ever because of what happened with the Pac-12, now the Pac-4. We don't know what that looks like. But this year more than ever, I mean, I know they say it's not about wins. CU went to the Big 12 and they won one game last year, but you know, prime time, whatever. It sure wouldn't hurt to have a winning season this year.
Exactly. I keep saying never a bad time to win, and this is an especially not bad time to win. Jay Norvell was asked about that yesterday at Media Day, and his answer made sense. You know, we've talked about that. You know, do the coaches think about extra? They're aware. They know. I mean, I've heard them discussing this, but they're also always under pressure win. That's basically what Jay Norvell said. He said every year is an audition because if you lose, you get fired. It doesn't matter what your contract is. You're under pressure to win. So for the coaches, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, for the program, you need to start winning no matter what the conference realignment does. But yes, now would be a really, really good time to start winning.
Yeah. I mean, if you can win games, and I think you were tweeting about this the other day, Kevin, obviously win games. And I know diehard Rams fans don't like this, but you will attract casual fans to your games. Fans that are pretty content watching the game at home and sitting around playing cards and that kind of thing. Instead, oh, they're winning. That's a fun environment. That's how you blow this thing up. And then that looks appealing on TV when you have a full stadium of people chanting for the Rams.
Totally. I mean, it's just the reality that winning brings in more fans. I totally respect and appreciate those hardcores who, yeah, win, lose, whatever, they're there through it. But any team in any sport, you grow your fan base by winning. There are more Nuggets fans today than there were a year ago.
Zero
because
question.
They won. There are more Avs fans today than there were 2 years ago because they won. If Alabama had 10 straight three-win seasons, their fan base would drop. Yes, you would still have a lot of hardcores, but you would lose some. It's the case in any team, in any sport, anywhere. So it's easy to say, like, everyone just jump on board, but that's just not realistic. And then you also have to factor in younger people who may not have a reason, or new students. You know, let's say you're a first-time Ram. You know, no one else in your family has ever gone to CSU. You don't necessarily have a tie to it. If the team just loses the entire time you're there, are you going to become hardcore? Yeah, some might, but a lot won't.
Yeah.
So I think that's some of the hidden stuff that's been lost of, you know, just generations of students going through without, you know, big successes to root for. Those are important. And yeah, again, it's easy to say, you know, it's kind of Joe Parker's line of like, we just need everyone to support. It's like, I get where you're coming from.
Sure,
I do
yeah.
get that would help, but you have to win. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go to a restaurant and pay for a meal knowing it's going to be crappy.
It's just like movies nowadays. I mean, the same thing, man. If you're let down time and time again by a certain brand of movies or an album or whatever, you're not going to keep buying that brand anymore. And so for this, I get why Joe's saying, hey, we need the fans. Well, of course you do, but dude, there are so many things to do in the state of Colorado, and watching a team lose on a consistent basis isn't really that fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's not, you know, it'd be one thing if they've been winning, then a down year or two.
Sure.
And you're, you know, it's like, hey, kind of stick with us. Kind of like the men's basketball team. Obviously, last year was disappointing, but I think most people kind of stuck with it, expect a bounce back. You know, I think that's the one where it's like, okay, people just ride it out. But football's lost for a long time. I mean, you know, like I say, there are how many classes of students have gone through without any real success. So, yeah, you need some wins and build a fan base that way because it has been down for a while.
Kevin, when I started really doing the show and diving in more with CSU stuff, I believe it was McElwain. Maybe it was who was right before him?
Fairchild.
Maybe it was right around that time. But if in the short time that I've really been making CSU a focal point of coverage here, how many coaches have we gone through?
Yeah, you went Fairchild, McElwain, Bobo, Adazio, now to Norvell. And how much success you had? You know, McElwain had the one, you know, decent season, then the one really, really good season. Obviously, that was a highlight. But it was one, then he obviously disappeared. Bobo, I think early Bobo people were kind of optimistic, you know, the 7-6s. But then it flatlined basically as the stadium opened, and then it crashed. And then it's never rebounded from there. Obviously, the Steve Adazio era, I meant to say Arab. I said error. It fits.
It sure fits. Yes.
You know, from word one, that was a disaster. Mm. And then Norvell, I think we're all optimistic. But, you know, again, optimism needs to turn into wins. I do think it will, but it hasn't yet. And that's what CSU really needs. And man, they do have the canvas, not to make the canvas pun, they do have the canvas for it this year with Washington State. That will be a lot of eyeballs. I expect a sold-out canvas stadium. And then you have the CU game. Mm. You know, split there, certainly a 2-0 there, either one of those, and you get some eyeballs on that program, and it would invigorate some of that. I think, you know, if CSU comes out and beats Washington State in that opener, all of a sudden you're going to have some people saying, maybe we should make a trip to the stadium here later this year for another game.
Absolutely, and that's what it takes, no question about it. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, Micah. We're going to have Jack Howell's going to call into to the studio here. We'll get a chance to talk with him about what his thoughts are on the upcoming season. So we'll look forward to that. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly here as the Coloradoan and KFKA team up to put this thing together each and every week with the Kevin Lytle.
Great to be back.
It is great to have you back, my friend.
It was a long summer without Rams Weekly.
And it's like every week we'll be seeing each other.
They do call it Rams Weekly for a reason.
Because it's a weekly show.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they think of these things in those rooms.
Smart minds.
Speaking of a smart mind, we've got Jack Howell on the program, stud defensive back for the Colorado State Rams. Jack, my friend, thanks for being on with us. You're on with me, of course, and the Kevin Lytle. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys? Glad to be on here.
We're doing awesome. Thanks for talking to us 2 days in a row. This is quite a rough draw for you, but we appreciate you taking the time to talk CSU as you guys head into the season. I know fans are getting excited. What's it like in the room right now? Do you guys kind of start getting the feeling of like, hey, the game, you know, first game actually isn't that far away now?
No, I mean, everyone's itching to go, you know. We're getting tired of beating up on each other. It's getting chippy, and I think that's the perfect time to know that you're ready to go. And we really just feel like one team, and we feel like just getting after it right now. So we're excited to get going, and you know, we got a little bit of revenge to get back on Washington State, so we can't wait.
Yeah, Jack, and you talked a little bit about that yesterday too. It's getting chippy, and we're talking trash, and we're getting at it. But I think the cool thing, and you and Torrey Horton both kind of intimated that at the end, you know, we get at each other, we know what it is on the field, but off the field, you know, we're all still about that common goal and what we have to do to make it a successful season.
No, totally. I mean, this team is just coming together. There's great chemistry. You know, it's just people from all different backgrounds of life just hanging out together. And, you know, I feel like you don't see that often. And, you know, this is the first year where I've really felt like this is one team and we're after one goal. And, you know, it really does feel like family. And I'm just blessed to be able to be a part of that. So it's really exciting.
Obviously, Jack, you guys are all competitors. Everyone wants to win in college football. How much is there that, you know, chip on the shoulder motivation to get this program to a winning program, especially for a guy like you that obviously has a long, you know, family history with it? Just how much does it, I guess, eat at you to not win and make you eager to be back on the field to turn that around?
No, I mean, for sure. I've grown up being taught that, you know, try your hardest in everything and, you know, don't fail, and you know, do everything in your power not to fail. And it's not only for me, but I want to play for this team, and I want to give these guys some wins because they deserve it. And any way I can help, but especially, you know, these fans, you know, they've been so loyal for so many years, but We got to give these fans something to be excited about, and we got to give them some wins. And I think that this is the year, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, and your guys' defense obviously, you know, has great potential. You know, for me, just being out there at practices and the scrimmages, you know, just to the eye test, it seems like fast speed of play is really up there for your defense. What really has you excited about your group right now? Kind of what jumps off the page to you?
Man, I mean, we got 8 returning starters on defense, so that chemistry is there, and I think that's everything. Knowing the playbook this year, knowing our assignments, I mean, I feel like we really didn't even have the defense figured out till game 6, game 7 last year, and that's when, you know, everyone started doing their assignments, everyone bought into the system, and that's when we got to see good play out of the defense. But as far as the secondary, I mean, Aiden Hector and Henry Blackburn make my life easy, and just 2 great guys, 2 of my best friends that I get to play with. And you know, Aiden Hector can cover anybody, and Henry Blackburn is going to cover everything over in the post. And Chase Wilson at linebacker, he's really stepped up this year. And Trey Pastor, Justin Sanchez, we're deep at backer, and the D-line is just crazy this year. You know, obviously Moe's returning, so he's just a nightmare to offenses. But I mean, we got all the right guys, we got the right coaches, and we just got to make it click now.
We're talking to CSU standout defensive player Jack Howell here on Rams Weekly. Jack, do you feel a sense of any kind of pressure at all? Because last year it was, all right, this 4 air raids coming in, we're going to see what that's all about, and that seems exciting. We weren't, maybe, I mean, we were silly, Jack. We weren't talking a lot about this defense that much, and then bam, we were talking about this defense. Now we're kind of looking at you. I think nationally, too, the rest of the conference is looking at this defense saying, these guys are the real deal. So do you feel any kind of extra sense of pressure that wasn't there last season?
I mean, I think the best place to be is the guy at the top, and the, you know, have the bar set high that everyone wants to be at. And I think this defense has a chip on our shoulder, because even though we did good last year, we have so much more that we can prove. And I mean, the sky's the limit for this group. And, you know, just being able to be a part of this defense and play with these great players is such an honor. And I just love, you know, running around, making plays, getting excited with them. So, I mean, it there's definitely some pressure, but it's nothing that we don't want or nothing we can't handle.
I potentially think you guys could have the best defensive backfield in the conference, one of those top-ranked defenses this season. I can't wait for that. Jack, you've been speaking to the media a lot. Kevin joked about it. You spoke to us yesterday. Do you like that? I mean, you're clearly a leader of this team. You have become such a great centerpiece for this team. Do you like kind of being that guy that's not only the leader on the field, but now they're saying, hey, Kevin Lytle wants to talk to you. Brady needs you. These guys need you. You're going to be the one to go talk. How do you view all that stuff?
I mean, you know, I want to do everything I can for my team, and if that means me being in the spotlight, I'll do that. But, you know, anytime I can give glory back to my guys, I want to do that, just because, you know, oftentimes I'll even feel a little bit guilty getting this much spotlight just because other players are. And, you know, I don't think Henry gets enough credit for what he does and just how good he is. He gets overlooked a lot, and you know, just a lot of dudes on this defense and on the team, really. I mean, I can talk hours and hours about Torrey Horton. Everyone knows him and how good he is. I still think he's underrated, and he's got a lot to prove this season. But, you know, that's something as a leader that you got to be able to handle. And, yeah, I just anytime I can give glory back to my guys, I want to do so.
Yeah, well, for everyone listening, I can attest that you're good at that, of making sure your guys are highlighted. Jack, I mean, every time we've talked this spring or fall, whatever, summer, whatever we're in, highlight some of the freshmen that you're excited about, you know, helping teach up. So you definitely do a good job of that, and making sure we know that's a group effort, and it's definitely appreciated. And I want to ask you kind of, you know, more just fun, silly stuff. If you had a choice, you know, a big blitz where you come in and get a sack, or drop back in coverage, get an interception. Which is the favorite? If you kind of had a choice of one of those, what do you want to do?
Oh, it's got to be an interception. But, you know, both feel good. But me and Aiden have a little bet going on about, you know, who's going to have more interceptions this year. So, I got to go with interceptions just so I can beat him.
Fair enough. I mean, how much of that type of kind of banter do you guys get in the defensive of, yeah, whether it's interceptions or, you know, I don't know if the D-line gets in on, you know, well, yeah, you guys do that, but we're going to be forcing fumbles up here. How much of that kind of fun banter do you guys get?
Oh, man, it's all the time, especially in the DB room. You know, Chiggy's always giving us crap. And everyone's always saying they're the best and making all these plays and everything, but it's all in fun and games, you know, and there's all sorts of jokes going around every day. But, you know, and then on the D-line, Mo told me that I have my picks because of him and everything. He needs that credit. But he's right. He does deserve it. And, I feel like any pick we have, it's because he's back in the backfield disrupting things.
I was going to say, as a secondary, it's got to be fun to look up at that D-line and see the kind of havoc and the amount of guys they can run through. It's got to help to know that you're not going to have to sit there in coverage for 7 seconds or anything.
No, exactly. Exactly. And that's the big thing, is knowing that we got each other's backs. And, we know that the D-line's going to get it done up front. Backers and myself will take care of the run. And me and the DBs will also take care of the pass. And just becoming one unit instead of three separate teams out there, but just being one big group and, you know, all having one common goal and working towards it.
Well, I think that's when you know you got a great defense too, when you can kind of have these side goals too, and almost competitions within that side of the ball. Jack, my man, always appreciate catching up with you. You're one of the best to talk to, no question about it. Certainly one of the best to watch, and we cannot wait for this upcoming season. And we hope to do this again sometime, my friend.
No, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the time.
Jack Howell, Colorado State. That's just a safety right there, man. That's just one of those good safeties, great safeties in the game.
Yeah, and versatile. He can, you know, do a little bit of everything. I think he basically said it. That group works really well together. You know, Aiden Hector as the nickel can do a lot of different things. You know, Aiden even called himself, it's a little bit every position. You're a cover guy. You're almost a linebacker. You do a lot. Henry Blackburn, as Jack said, is sort of your deep safety, you know, covering the back end of everything. And Jack, you know, he can obviously come up and make plays in the run game, but he can cover pretty well too. It's a group that meshes and molds well and complements each other well.
You kind of see that too. It's like this hybrid kind of deal too, yeah, where he can be a safety, but he's almost kind of flirting with the linebacker spot, yeah, and maybe a corner over here if he needs to be. And that's, I mean, we're kind of seeing that evolution in defenses nowadays, is using those safeties, yeah, to do a little bit of everything.
Especially Frey Banks likes a fast group, and so having guys like Jack that can, you know, both tackle and cover, yeah, very important.
Well, Jack Howell, great stuff from him. Our podcast will be available at 1310kfk.com. If you miss any of these weekly Rams weeklies, Kevin, that's what it is, weekly
How
Rams
often
weeklies.
Does this show happen, do we know?
It's like every 7 days or something. Like, they almost call it a...
Do they have a term for that? They should come up with one.
It's like weekly, I think. We'll be right back. Kevin, from now on, anytime I do a sports show, whether it's my show or this show or whatever, with conference realignment stuff, I have a cheat sheet with me.
This is smart.
Everywhere I go. My Angel, my producer, of course, you know him well. Yep. He made this for me because I keep losing track.
He's saving you.
But you need a cheat sheet.
I need one of those. I need, you know how baseball players now have like the laminate card where they pull it out and say, oh, you know, with this pitcher, you know, I should shade a little bit to left field or whatever. I need that for conferences. Like, well, we're talking about school X who's in conference.
Yeah, I have to have it.
And
now,
not only they're in this conference this year, next year they're expected to be in this conference. So you need like a flow chart.
Well, that's what's
almost
even more confusing, is you've got like, well, 2024 it'll be this, but 2023 it's still this, but also some of the teams left 2 years ago, so they're actually out. Yeah. So will we be needing to edit CSU's position at any point here? You know, when we look at the conference realignment, the potential of the Pac-4. Or I guess the Big 12 is still something that Rams fans are talking about, but
yeah,
what do you think?
I know CSU fans, I think Big 12 is gone, at least in the pseudo near future. I don't think there's any chance of that for CSU. I had a question. I just published a mailbag this afternoon with a lot of great questions. We talked CSU soccer, volleyball, football breakout players, you know, offense, defense, and obviously realignment. And one of the questions was, in 2 years, do I think CSU will have moved conferences? Mm. And I sort of hedged. I'm not going to lie. I sort of hedged. But I said, basically, CSU is going to be, my best guess, in a conference that is not the exact same as what they're in now, which, like I say, is a little bit of a hedge and pretty open-ended. But I think there's going to be movement. The pack 2-4 seem to be considering trying to stick together, but that would mean bringing in other programs that would have to pay an exit fee. So basically, you would need a lot to kind of go together, because all, you know, CSU right now wouldn't pay the exit fee to go to the Pac 2 or 4 unless they knew that eight other teams or whatever were coming and there'd be a pretty good media deal at the end of that. Then you'd say, okay, well, maybe we will pay for that. So there's a lot, I'm sure, workings going on behind the scenes. We did get a chance to ask Amy Parsons, CSU's president, about that. My colleague Kelly Lyle interviewed her this morning about a number of topics, but he did ask about realignment. Amy's answer, nothing groundbreaking. I can assure you we've been in all the right conversations around opportunities for CSU, working very hard behind the scenes at any potential opportunities that might come our way as a result of all the upheaval. Specifically in regards to the upheaval of the Pac-12, which is surprising how fast all that happened, which accurate. She continued, CSU aspires to play at the top level in all of our sports, just like they aspire to everything, excellence in everything at CSU. Waiting, like most people are waiting, to see what might happen the next month or so as the four remaining Pac-12 schools have decisions to make on their own, whether they're interested in joining our conference, other conferences, or rebuilding the Pac-12. That, you know, basically that's on them right now. And once, really, ream between the lines, and not even ream between the lines, this is pretty nationally established, Cal and Stanford are the first dominoes. They need to figure out, okay, are we going to stick with Oregon State, Washington State, and try and, you know, go in and rebuild? Or are we going to do our own thing? So I think once you get decisions from those schools, then you'll get moving. I guess really you need a final decision from the ACC, which sounds like it's going to be no to those schools, but again, sounds like means nothing right now.
Oh, it's
so once, you know, if or when that was a hard no from the ACC, then Cal and Stanford will have to make kind of their decision on if they want to go alone or together or what. And then there will be some movement. So as we've talked about before, CSU obviously and every other group of five is in conversations with various people and folks right now. But CSU can't really make any of this happen yet.
Well, and there's just not there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah, right. I mean, CSU can't go, well, we're just going to make our own conference and we're going to make Cal and Stanford and Washington State and Oregon State part of it. It's like, well, you can't force that.
So,
I mean, like I say, CSU has to be in all those conversations. And, you know, if the Pac-12 does rebuild, I think CSU needs to make sure they're part of that. But again, right now, you can't, you know, there's not a CSU can't force the hand of anyone right now.
Yeah. And that's what's just so wild about all of this talk. And, you know, you see it on the X or Twitter verse, a lot of Rams fans are pushing, you know, this way or that way to do something. You're at the mercy of what these conferences ultimately decide to do as well, and what those TV deals look like and everything. So there's just so many moving parts to this.
Yeah, there really are. And like I say, if, you know, there's a potential of a, you know, Pac-12, you know, remain Pac-12 merger with some of the Mountain West and some of the AAC. But again, those Mountain West schools would need some pretty good assurances of, you know, roughly what the TV deal would look like before paying that big buyout to leave. You know, is there a path to dissolve the Mountain West and leave to do it that way? That seems unlikely. But, you know, you could see a way where the Pac-4 stay together, pluck 4 to 6 top Mountain West programs and, you know, 4 or so AAC programs. All of a sudden, you have a conference that, yeah, isn't you know, maybe the conference of champions that was, but not a bad conference that would get a better TV money deal than the Mountain West currently has. So, you know, you kind of wonder if it maybe will spin that way.
Well, and that's why, again, winning games, getting more popular, all that stuff is going to be appealing, because if that's what happens and CSU becomes a big brand, like you said earlier, if the Rams beat Washington State and they beat CU, and who knows how good CU, whatever, you're starting to get some attention. Yeah. Not just here locally, but some national attention. And then suddenly it becomes, okay, if we do have this conference situation with the Pac-4 and we have a CSU-type team coming in, we could really get a good TV deal because that's an attractive program.
Yeah, and the timing of it really is interesting. I mean, Amy Parsons, in that quote to Kelly, said, you know, kind of she – roughly next month or so, which makes sense because, you know, the PAC TV deal is done after this, you know, school year. So that means next year those PAC schools either need a new home or a rebuilt PAC, or else they'd just be completely in the wilderness. So this all has to happen fast. I know it sounds, you know, a year from now you have time. Not really. There are so many logistics if there is a new conference or a different conference or a change conference. So many logistics that need to be figured out that this stuff has to be figured out pretty soon. So, yeah, I think it's very possible that either by the time CSU kicks off against Washington State or not long after, there's going to be some news and, you know, movement around the country once again. Because, again, those four schools, they have to figure out what they're doing next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You got to get in front of this, and you can't do what the Pac-12 has done for years now, and they just keep kicking the can down the road, and bad things happen, whether it's
They've hit the dead end in the road.
Oh, they can't kick that can anymore.
Nope, there's nowhere to go. Hit the wall.
There's nowhere to go. Let's talk more about the upcoming season, of course, for Colorado State football. Jay Norvell, can he do what he did at Nevada? Year one, they won three games, and year two, was it eight?
Yeah, I believe so. It was three or four. And then yeah, I believe eight.
Could we see the same thing again for Colorado State? Eight wins. Be a pretty big deal.
That would be a big change.
It's Rams Weekly, which airs every week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly here, presented by the Coloradoan, and of course airing here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Kevin Lytle, of course, and myself, Brady Hull, teaming up all season long. That was great to get Jack on as our first guest of the season.
Great start to the season. Nice talking to Jack. Always good spokesperson.
They have good people over there. They really do. And good players that can speak well to the media. And that's, I know you and I look for that for sure.
I've really enjoyed this team. Jack kind of mentioned it, of all the, you know, combined backgrounds coming together. This is one of the more uniquely diverse teams. I think they have six or seven countries represented. I had a chance to do a story on Hanada, obviously, the kid coming
cool
over from
thing.
Japan, which is a wild, I mean, just incredible. And he's such a cool kid, and just fully immersing. Like, he wants to do these interviews as part of, you know, challenging himself to learn English, which is pretty incredible. Had a long chat with Patty Turner, who is incredibly both entertaining, well-spoken, thoughtful, everything you would want. Talked to Jordan Noyes yesterday, the kicker from England, 31 years old, I believe he is. So the old, I say that nicely, Jordan, because you're younger than me, kicker from England who's married with kids. Dallin Holker, a little older, he's married. You have Moritz, offensive lineman from Germany. A couple players with family backgrounds from South Sudan. It's really a diverse, you know, truly worldwide roster, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and I loved your write-up. Again, folks, you should check it out. Kevin put that together on August 10th about Hanada, sumo wrestler. So, okay, Kevin, I have questions. How did he get on their radar?
Yeah, it's obviously it's random. So it was 6 months ago that he first put on football pads. Like you said, sumo wrestler, you know, star sumo wrestler in Japan, wanted to go for football, you know, kind of dipped in. There's a CFL combine, basically, international combine type of thing, that he was at, participated in. Sounds like he showed really well. And Mike Fair, who's a defensive line coach for the Ottawa Red Blacks, for those CFL fanatics out there, he and Buddha Williams, CSU's D-line coach, worked together back in the day at Illinois. Mike Fair, so I think not a, I believe he is too young for the CFL draft, but Mike Fair, you know, liked what he saw, basically, called Buddha and said, there's a kid you might want to check out. And Buddha says, if coach, you know, points someone in my direction, you know, I'm going to watch. Like, you know, I trust him that much. Watch some film of, you know, kind of the earliest days of him playing football. And, yeah, I thought, you know, both, you know, obviously the hand fighting that you get in wrestling. He said, you know, quick and good soft foot movement. And explosiveness showed up on film, and he said, yeah, it's worth a shot. Let's bring him in. And, you know, so far the reviews are good. Yeah, it's an incredible amount of hurdles he's going through. You know, it's a language he doesn't know, a sport he doesn't know. Trying to learn, you know, football terminology is weird to native English speakers. So just imagine trying to – when you don't even know the language. But, you know, a lot of – you know, teaching by, you know, visual teaching. I believe they're translating some of the, basically the playbook into Japanese for him as well to do that. But he's figuring out. I mean, he was on the field a little bit in the scrimmage yesterday. I know, you know, I've kind of heard some teammates are teaching some colorful language that you can use in football games as well. So there's, you know, some of the fun fun aspects of it. But, you know, it's just an incredible, incredible journey and seems like such an easy guy to root for.
No doubt. He's like, I haven't seen him play, you know, but he's already like up there and one of my favorite players.
If you think of everything that goes into what he's doing, if he sees the field in a college football game, it's an incredible achievement. Much, you know, much less become a great player, get a sack, whatever. If he's just good enough to, you know, ever play at CSU, that's remarkable when you think of how he's doing it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's just one of those really cool stories. And again, you did a great job of putting some shedding some light on that story too. So I'm excited to see what how this, you know, if something happens.
Even Jay Norvell, you know, coaches don't tend to get wrapped up in, you know, storylines. Jay Norvell at Mountain West Media Days, when, you know, we were first talking about this, it just happened. He even said, that's going to be a pretty fun story to follow, you know, kind of just as a football fan. You could tell he was kind of excited of like, man, this game is so global. Like, how cool is this to see, you know, what happens? And I don't think any, you know, obviously they see potential in him, but I don't think anyone knows for sure what to expect. I think they're kind of excited about it. It's so new and unique.
I just like seeing his tweets.
Yeah.
Because he's tweeting in Japanese, and then he'll
usually follows it with, you know, kind of the English version. I always hit the little translate tweet to thing to get a little idea, but it's just cool. And clearly, if you just look at the impressions on his social media, this is being followed very closely in Japan. So, hey, you're talking about eyeballs. He's bringing eyeballs.
Another big time story that I think people can get behind. Jay Norvell, obviously, I love that story. There's so many things to like about him. I have yet, and I'm being honest here, I have yet to really find something where I go, those are some red flags from Norvell. I mean, I'm already hearing stuff down in Boulder, what's going on there. Craig Bohl has been consistent with Wyoming, but there's been times where people could go, I don't like this about him. Is there anything that people can say that they're not nuts about Jay Norvell, at least at this stage? Are we still kind of in that honeymoon phase with him?
I think just the record last year, which obviously he would admit. But no, I mean, pretty much what he says is what you get. He pretty clearly lines out plans and goals and is pretty blunt with things. You know, even when the roster was turning over last year, you know, he didn't really try and sugarcoat it. He's a pretty straight shooter. So, you're not going to agree with, you know, every, you know, choice a football coach makes as a fan, but he's usually pretty straightforward with outlining his plans.
Do you think we'll see a turnaround quite a lot like what he did at Nevada? That was kind of the reason, you know, when folks were talking about hiring Jay Norvell, it was, well, look what he did in Nevada. Next year, he had this team becoming a relevant team in the conference, his second year two.
Yeah, I think Nevada was maybe a little bit more of a, I don't want to say stable because they weren't very good, but a little healthier place. CSU, obviously, it was a big mess on and off the field.
Yeah, what did he say? He has one offensive player on the team?
Yeah, I knew he was down to about a dozen players from any staff prior to him. I didn't realize. Yeah, he said one offensive player, Brian Crespo. I haven't gone through the roster, but it sounds right. That's incredible. So it tells you, and part of it makes sense. Like obviously a total change in system, but it's a reflection of just how much change has come. So will they win 8 games? I'm probably not ready to go that far yet, but I also won't be surprised if CSU has a December bowl game either. So I do think that's possible. I do think this is the best defense Jay Norvell's ever had. I think he even said last year's probably was, and this year's, in theory, should be better than last year's.
Like I said on the whole show today, Kevin, you got to hold me back a little bit, because when I get, I'm green here, because when I get around the media day and the hype and all the videos and stuff, I'm kind of like, this team might never lose ever. Probably will win every game for the next 30 years.
Yeah, there are plenty of reasons to be optimistic. I'm very bullish on the defense. I do think they're going to be very good. And the offense has skill pieces. I like Dallin Holker. Obviously, Torrey Horton's amazing. I like some of the young receivers. I think Lewis Brown has had a really good camp. Justice Ross Simmons, we know, is pretty solid. You need Clay Millen to take a step forward. You need him to unleash a little bit. And you need that O-line to be good. You know, they don't need to be amazing. They don't need to be best in the Mountain West, but they can't be worse than the Mountain West once again. So that's a big question mark. I think it's better, but we need to see it in games. So, yeah, I think this team takes a step forward. I'm still just unsure on how big that step will be.
Well, I know we're wrapping up here, but just a real quick thought for you, Kevin. Is there pressure on Jay Norvell to get
some.
It done?
I mean, it's not like his job is under pressure after this year, but if 3-9 would not be okay.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. It's been Rams Weekly. If you missed any of the program, you can find it at 1310kfka.com. And as always, check out coloradoan.com. Kevin's got the most insightful CSU stories you're going to find, so make sure you check that out. Again, coloradoan.com. We'll be back at it next Thursday. We're a couple weeks away. It's been Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.